Welcome to Fun and Fundraising, everybody, the podcast where we talk with people behind top nonprofit galas and signature fundraising events to showcase how they positively transform their communities. I am your host, Rob Giardinelli, and today I am over the moon excited to have two of my very favorite people in the world on as guests today. So we have Kara Abizari, who is the Director of Community Affairs for the St. David's Foundation, and Toby Fonte, who is the chair of their signature fundraising event called Toast of the Town. And for anyone who has ever been challenged with throwing a fundraising event, this organization is turning 40, and each year they throw 20 bespoke parties. So this organization over the last 40 years has probably thrown anywhere between 700 and 800 fundraising events to benefit the Neil Kusorik Scholarship Foundation. We're going to talk about that more in our time together today. But what they've done is really a feat, and I can't think of any organization to celebrate four decades of the tireless work they do to benefit a community than St. David's. So with that, Kara, Toby, welcome. And I'm really thrilled to have you both here today.
Thank you. Thank you. We're excited.
Yes. Thanks, Rob.
Absolutely. So Kara, tell us what the mission of the St. David's Foundation is.
Well, at St. David's Foundation, our mission is to advance health equity through investment and action so that every individual has the opportunity to flourish. And that's really, really been very important to the foundation. That's we're investing in our next generation of health professionals and through our scholarship program. And we want to make sure that we reduce the barriers that happen in people's lives and in students' lives. And so we do that through health equity and investment.
You know, I appreciate you sharing that. And I have a follow-up question for that, but we're going to do another question before we get there, because I definitely want to talk about the foundation and how you all just do such a masterful job of demonstrating and showing that at your events. But before we hop into what the foundation, Scholarship Foundation does, I want to hear how each of you got involved with this organization. And Toby, I want to start with you because you have been a tireless advocate for this organization for many years. So I would love for you to share how you initially got involved and where your passion to help this organization comes from.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was thinking about this, like, when did I get involved? It's been many, many years. And I think really I was just invited to be a guest at a party originally. And, I, of course, had a ball at the party and, you know, learned more about the foundation and, you know, what the scholarship program was for. And then I was invited to be a host, a co-host of a party, because that's what kind of makes these parties cool. We have different co-hosts for each event. And then from that point, I was invited to be on the committee where we create these fun parties for Toast of the Town. And I really can't remember how long I've been on the committee.
Maybe 2005, 2006?
Yeah, maybe since 2005 or six.
So a couple minutes, basically, is what I'm
just
hearing.
Just a few minutes. And, but obviously, I love it, and what the parties do and where the money goes. And it's a really amazing organization, and the students who benefit are truly remarkable.
That's a great answer. And what I really appreciate about your involvement is it's very much like almost like a staircase is kind of how I'm, you know, want to kind of describe it. You attended a party, then you were asked to co-host a party, then you were on the committee, then you became a chair. It's kind of like you were going up the stairs to the door, and you did each one along the way over, you know, a period of years. And Kara, I want to hear your journey about how you got involved with the organization, but I'd love for you at the end to kind of elaborate on, you know, how do you spot, you know, what goes into you asking somebody to actually be a part of a committee or host a party, and spotting people like Toby who you know are special and really want to be more involved in the organization?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I started at the foundation in 2002, actually, and I was initially hired to do major gifts. So there was somebody here that was already coordinating Toast of the Town. And So I originally was more of a grant writer, believe it or not. I have been working in nonprofits since 1994. Oh goodness. And I had, when you're a development director, you do a little bit of everything. You do events, you do grant writing, you all over the place. And so when I was hired for this job, I thought, oh, great, I'll have to do events. I can just do grant writing and major gift work. And then things evolved here at the foundation and found myself basically coordinating Toast of the Town. And it has been such an incredible journey. Since 2002, kind of the evolution of Toast and being a part of it, the scholarship program as well, and seeing our students grow from these kind of nervous little 18-year-old high school students to doctors. And so it's been really an incredible journey. And I think one of the things that has kept me here and why every year I love it is the relationships with the committee members and with our donors. We just have such a strong, lovely group of people who are really committed to Toast of the Town and the scholarship program. And so seeing that since 2002, it's been such a wonderful thing to be a part of.
That's fantastic. And it's fun to see. I can't imagine this event series without you. I truly, like, there's very few events in Texas where I'm like, I cannot imagine this person was not part of it. And you're that for me with this, with this organization. And I know that I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about how you find someone, like, because when you're doing 20 parties a year, you're seeing several hundred people in a multitude of different roles, let's just say, whether it's a guest, a host, whatever it is. How do you find someone like a Toby? And you just kind of feel this energy that you're like, okay, how do I make the ask to get a person kind of more involved with, with my organization or with my nonprofit? Because what you do is you all do event-wise is really unique.
It really has to do with relationships. And when you meet someone at a party here, and then maybe you see they're friends of somebody there, and you can just tell when somebody is excited to be there. And that's what we want in a committee member, is positive energy, willing to go out and be creative and really enjoying themselves in the moment. And when you're at a party, and one of the things as a staff, I'm at the front door greeting people, and you can just tell when people come, the people that are like so jazzed to be there. And so what if there's another committee member there, you might say, hey, Toby, go talk to that person. I think she'd be a great committee member. And so, we kind of compare notes and say, maybe we should ask so and so to be on the committee. I think she would be a lot of fun. And because that's what we try to do, is we have fun, especially on the committee. We throw out all kinds of ideas, and the magic really happens when people are there being creative and having fun. And you can just tell fun people. You can tell fun people. And that's the most important thing, is someone who can just have a good time and be themselves.
Absolutely. And what I really appreciate about what you said there is, you're spotting, because you're basically kind of observing kind of who wants to be there, but then you're also making sure you're not making a snap decision. You're really verifying, that this person would be good with somebody else, so that it's, that it's a group decision to, bring another person in because they're going to bring something new to your committee. So I like that kind of the multi-step process with that it's not a snap judgment, but it's a feeling that's followed by facts. And when you do those things together, because you need both of those with nonprofits, that's a really, really interesting way of doing it. And I really appreciate that, that response. And you both have mentioned, the Neil Kusorick Scholarship. So let's talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the Neil Kusorick Scholarship Foundation and the beneficiary of the Toast Parties and what exactly, you know, the funds you raise go towards.
Absolutely. Well, we're really proud of our scholarship program. We currently have over 300 students that are on scholarship, and it's $7,500 a year for up to 8 years. And to be eligible to receive the scholarship, you have to be a graduating high school senior from the 5-county area, Travis, Williamson, Hayes, Caldwell, or Bastrop County. And so these are our best and brightest students that are all intending to major in a healthcare related degree. They have to do their undergrad in Texas, but if they go to grad school or medical school, they can go anywhere in the world. And so we don't just write a check though with our students. We have a lot of wraparound services. So we provide free tutoring for them. We pair them with a healthcare mentor. So we look through our St. David's healthcare network, as well as some of our Toast sponsors, and we pair them with a practicing healthcare professional so that they have, many of our students are the first in their family to go to college. And so to have someone that they can talk to and, you know, talk through things with, their plans and their future plans that have been there and done that, is so valuable. And so it, we really want them to feel special to be a part of this program. And, you know, because college is hard and, you know, it's not a lot of, it's not always football games and, you know, it's tough. And so we want them to know that they have a group of people that are rooting for them and want them to stay the course. Our retention rate of graduating is 93%. And wow. I mean, that's, and I do think it's because of the community. We have a cool little social media account that we ask them to send us, you know, answers. We poll them. We have movie nights. We do all kinds of things to make them feel like that they're part of a special community. And I think it's so important. To date, we've given over 700 scholarships to date. And so it's, I think it's a beautiful program. And yeah, we're just really proud of it.
You know, what I love about hearing that is what you do is much more than a scholarship. It's really almost like a career roadmap that you're giving, you know, these young minds and young professionals. And Toby, I want to ask you, because one of the things that's really so special about the Toast events is each of these private parties, usually there will be a student that's there, either a, you know, a current one or one that maybe has just gotten a scholarship, that talks about the organization. So share a little bit about, you know, give us a little bit more information about that and kind of how, you know, the, you know, how you all go about selecting someone to actually speak at, you know, at various certain types of Toast events.
Definitely. You know, these young people, we always have a scholarship recipient at one of our parties, and they get to share what the scholarship has meant to them thus far in their lives and what the experience has been. And hearing these young people who, again, so many are first in their families to be able to have the opportunity to go to college, and their passions and what they have overcome in their short lives thus far. And it's remarkable. And here they have a passion for healthcare and wanting to give back to the community. And you hear that in their stories, and they are so heartfelt. You know, I truly get goosebumps every time I hear one of these, you know, one of our scholarship recipients telling how this scholarship has truly changed their lives and even can change the lives of their family, you know, because they're able to earn and grow and, you know, have experiences that, you know, they would not have had without the scholarship.
And you all are so, the thing I always love about your events is you all are really effective with that, because a lot of times with events, folks that are giving their testimonials, it's usually either done via video or they're on a stage. But because of the layout of the toast parties, that's not the case. You really kind of feel and experience it kind of almost on a one-on-one basis. Like, you're really able to connect. So, Kara, talk a little bit about kind of the typical toast event structure and kind of, you know, how many people are there and kind of thematically kind of the things that you're looking to do.
Absolutely. So our parties are any day in the month of May, any day of the week. And we typically have, you know, our parties last year ranged from, I think our smallest was 10 in the wine room at Jeffrey's. And maybe Toby's party, I think, was the largest at a ranch for, it was about 50 people. So, and anywhere in between. And, you know, it's pretty much, if you want to dress up and go to a party, there's a party for you. If you want to go and wear your jeans and be in the backyard and listen to somebody, you know, strum a guitar, we have a party for you too. So I'd say the kind of sweet spot is like 30 to 40 guests. And we want it to be, so whoever is the special guest, whether it's an author or a musician or a coach or, you know, any that you actually can interact with that person. It's not somebody on a stage in a room with 1,000 people, which those are great too. And those are very inspirational, but ours are just a little bit different because you can really interact with the special guest and ask questions, get to know the other guests that are there in the room as well. And so a typical party, everybody comes usually about 6:37 in the evening. We have a cocktail hour. As staff, we greet people at the door and give everybody a lovely name tag, which I have to say, I have thousands and thousands of name tags in my past, but that's a whole other podcast.
That's another podcast.
But, yeah. but really, truly, I think as a staff member, it's really important to be at the door to thank the sponsors, and to get to know people, over the years, just by standing at the front door. I've developed so many relationships with people over the years, and that is so important in fundraising, is developing these relationships. So at the front door, usually we have a scholar with us, there that we introduce, to our sponsors. And then usually about, you know, 30, 45 minutes in, we have a very brief presentation. Our EVP, Julian Huerta, has come to almost every single party since he started here. And he talks a little bit about the foundation as a whole and what we do as a foundation. And then also about our scholarship program. A lot of our sponsors are in the healthcare industry themselves. And so they like to hear what we're doing to kind of further that next group of healthcare professionals, of nurses and pharmacists. And then we have one of our scholars speak, and we tell them, just, you know, share what you would like to share. These people that are in here are rooting for you. They have contributed because they want to see you succeed. And so if you were them, you know, what would you want to know about yourself? What do you think? And so we have the most heartfelt stories, and it's an intimate setting. You know, it's maybe 30 people and the scholar, and it's not too long-winded, just long enough for people to realize, yes, this is a great party, but the real reason we're here is to support that student. So that's what our parties look for. And then we slip away and the party continues.
That's a smart way of looking at it. Now, yes. Toby, you have hosted zillions, we're just going to say, of these over the years. You know, talk about how Toast has evolved, you know, really either since its inception or since you've been involved with it for many years now. How has Toast and, you know, the St. David's Foundation evolved, you know, over time with its parties and kind of, you know, how it's evolved with the trajectory of Austin, which has really been an upward trajectory, like what the organization is.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what is so great is Given that we have, you know, say these 20 or so small, unique events, we have gotten to know, say, some up and coming singer songwriters, basically, quote, in their infancy, and now they're on big stages and had opportunities to see some of our special guests grow and evolve, which is pretty remarkable. And then also, you know, I feel like on our committee, we are always trying to come up with new, unique ideas, keeping with what's happening in Austin. And, you know, I used to like all the local magazines, I get them and I, you know, tear out what could be a cool party idea. What author just moved to Austin? What actor has moved here? And I keep a file folder of those ideas. And, you know, as our committee grows and evolves, at these committee meetings, I'll be like, does anybody know so-and-so? I think they were on The Bachelor season one, but I've heard that person lives here. And somebody's uncle's brother's cousin, next door neighbor, knows that person. And, you know, it's just through those connections and conversations we have during our committee meetings is how these parties come to life. And it's really amazing of, you know, just seeing an evolution even from the beginning of a season where we start throwing out ideas, which can be anything, to see what evolves based on how our committee works together with ideas and brainstorming. And I think, you know, that's been interesting. I think from an evolution standpoint, like the very first season of Toast the Town, they had 20 parties on one night. We
okay,
spread them out.
I've never done that. Even Lance Avery Morgan has not done that. So I want to
know, like, how do you do that? And but it also was cool is we have on our committee a woman who helped create those first 20 parties, and she has been on our committee for 40 years.
Yes.
And so that, I think, is what's so cool. Now, sometimes we can't repeat some of the stories she shares of past parties.
Nor would we want her to, or you to.
We got to protect, you know,
the innocence.
But, you know, so you hear about that, and it's fun and exciting. And, you know, sometimes our parties are so successful, you want to repeat it again. And, you know, you'll have new guests, but it could be the same theme or person that people just get really excited about. And so that's fun. And I think for our 40th this year, we've gone back, like, people who know me know I have file boxes full of Toast of the Town notes, old invitations, ideas. And, you know, we've gone through some of those to see, okay, what parties from however long ago can we recreate this year or add a spin to? Or, you know, let's reach out to these people. They were sponsors 20 years ago. Let's re-engage them again. And, you know, that's where you just keep that energy cycling from year to year, which is really cool and fun.
Well, there were so many just aha moments and things to unpack with what you said, but the two biggest ones are, I love how you take inspiration. You understand what it takes to throw a good party. And that is that you can get inspiration from other parties because they're, you know, everyone will find another experience that they have previously and they bring it into that event, but it's how you make it your own unique and special one. And one of my all-time favorite parties was one that you threw. It was at that private airplane hangar.
Oh yeah.
All those years ago in Studio 54, and then we hopped in an Uber and then went to another party in Studio 54 garb afterward.
Yes, we did.
So, but you know, you're so good at creating those experiences and just kind of having the imagination. But the other thing, and you were doing this over and over again in what you said, is you are an excellent dot connector. And any good host is a good dot connector. And you explain in so many different ways how you connect the dots between person to person, thing to thing, item to item, what happened 10 years ago that could convey now. You've always done such a good job with that. And, you know, it really showed, you know, in your answer. And so thank you for sharing that.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I think too, when you have a passion for what you're doing and for the organization, I think that's what makes a difference. And, you know, our committee members have a passion for what we're doing, and our sponsors from year to year, they have a passion for what we're doing with the scholarship program. And for me, that really translates into our parties and, you know, what we produce.
Absolutely. I completely, completely agree with that. And, you know, it's just really magical what you all are able to create, you know, each year, and just such inventive and fun things. And Kara, you know, I'd love for you to answer the next question. It's kind of something Toby touched upon, and, you know, you've had a committee member that's been involved all 40 years. So I'd like, you know, from an organization perspective, what is one thing an organization can do to create that devoted following for an annual signature fundraiser, so people keep coming back and they keep wanting to engage? People like Toby, who have been involved with, you know, for many years, and then people who have been involved since day one.
You know, I feel like I kind of won the lotto with Toast of the Town in the development world, because it is really tough every year when you have a party, a gala, to what are we going to do next year? How are we going to top this year? You know, what's the special, you know, who's going to be the musical guest, or the decorations are going to be over the top. And that is so hard. That is so, so hard. And with Toast of the Town, it kind of reinvents itself every year. And it organically changes because the committee changes a little bit, or you get somebody new and they have a new person they know. And then all of a sudden there's this whole new party or direction that you're going. And so I think, you know, our donors are always just dying to see what the parties are going to be this year. And so I'm lucky in that sense to have an event that is always going to be unveiled. You know, and so it's, and I have the most great people with the committee to kind of go on this journey with me. You know, sometimes I'll start thinking, oh, I'm a little stressed about this. And I'll think, oh my God, Toby's my chair this year. Why am I stressed? You know, like, why, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I have Lorraine Moffitt is, you know, our co-chair this year. Ray Benson is our honorary chair. You know, and then I have this amazing committee. Francis Pierce has been on for 40 years. And so, you know, we really are a team.
Yes.
And we, like I think I said earlier, we have a lot of fun. And, you know, you throw a bunch of ideas at a wall and some work out and some don't, and some might work out next year. But it's, I think, to develop this kind of cool following that we have, is because people are always wondering, oh, what's going to be, you know, a hot ticket this year? And literally all our parties are good. They're all good. And they're all different. And people can find, if somebody wants a very nice wine dinner, beautiful food, beautiful wine, we got that. If, you know, I mean, it's, so there's really something for everybody. And I believe too, people have really come to care about our scholars and hear their stories and want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of helping those students reach their goals and to succeed in life. And so I think it's a little bit of a, you know, a couple different reasons.
But. And I really want to reiterate what Kara said about there literally, I will say of any event I've ever been a part of, there really is something for everybody. That literally you will have music, sport, culture, you've got everything kind of rolled up all into one, food. So, I mean, whatever your taste is, there is something for you with that. And that's what's, I think that's the really, to me, the power of the Toast of a Town parties is no one can say, oh, that's not me. Because right. it's, and even if, especially if you're an introvert, there are 10 to 40 people. Mm-hmm. That's a room where you're not going to be overwhelmed. So, I mean, there truly is something for everybody in those, you know, in those situations. And Toby, I want to actually direct the next question to you. And that is, you know, you're chairing in back-to-back years. So this is the second consecutive year you've been chairing. Yes. So talk about, you know, how you learned from the previous year and how you apply what you learned to the next year to allow the organization to continue to grow and the event to grow.
You know, I was thinking about that, and it's like, I think what is so great about kind of how we help Toast of the Town works is that even if something's not perfect, it doesn't matter because you're still having an amazing experience. And, you know, our guests are there for the right reason, like because they care about what we're doing, and all of our parties are so unique that if something doesn't work, it's okay. Like it's all good, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to if I'm at a gala and our AV equipment doesn't work, well, we're kind of in trouble. Here, if something happens, you just kind of laugh it off and be like, it's okay, you know, because I think we have created an environment for our whether there are special guests who are on stage, so or you know, speaking, or our sponsors and party attendees, I feel like we create an environment that's very welcoming and relaxed, so that it's okay if it's not perfect, you just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can tell you 2000 events in, I've never been to a perfect event. There is no such thing as a perfect event. And you've thrown 800 parties. So if all 800 were perfect, people would be like, what's wrong? What's the matter here? You know, exactly. What bargain do you have, you know, with a higher power to do that? So, but, you know, exactly. you've each kind of brought up, and I think this is a good time for this question, but you've talked about, you know, the importance of committee and the importance of sharing ideas and the importance of how you create different party experiences each year. So I'd love each of you to share, you know, how does the team and the committee go about curating and selecting the party experiences each year? Talk about that process in kind of whittling it down, you know, from many great ideas to the 20 most fantastic ideas.
Well, sometimes, you know, we our committee is a wonderful group of people, and we start meeting in September. And every 3 weeks we meet over lunch and we come together and brainstorm. And we think to ourselves, what would be the greatest party? And a lot of times we have a list a mile long, but the ones that really come to fruition, and sometimes we'll take three different ideas and make them into one party. So it really is a group effort. And sometimes things come together that you would never dream of, but it's because of the creative minds and people saying, you know, I saw this on 60 Minutes and, you know, I just read this book, or I just went to a party at a house with blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you have this party that you would have never dreamed of by yourself. And I do think to some degree that once you become a part of the Toast of the Town committee, I don't want to say that it's an ailment, but you can't go anywhere without thinking, would this be a good toast party? You start dreaming, or you'll go to somebody's house and you'll think, this would be a good toast house. And so it really is something that our committee members live and breathe 365 days a year. So just because we're not meeting doesn't mean that they're not at somebody's house thinking, oh, this would be a really cool toast party. Or, you know, they hear a band and they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to put this on the list for next year. So it really, in a way, kind of organically comes through. We're getting pretty close this year to having a really amazing group of parties. But it's teamwork, absolute teamwork, and people throwing out ideas. And not all ideas are going to work or come, but a lot of times it's part of one person's idea and a part of another person's idea, and it just comes together, and that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, it's like a beautiful collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I love about this. Like, it's a collaboration, and, you know, we do have, you know, say sports, you know, like say we may have the Texas Longhorns coach of whatever team. Well, we may have to have an Aggie theme party too. And you know what? We're going to collaborate on that, and mm-hmm. we may put them together and have a rivalry, or we may have to have them separate because it's too much of a rivalry. But so that's what's cool. You just collaborate and mm-hmm. see what happens, and it's amazing how it all works out.
Yeah, yeah. The Francis, the committee member who's been on it 40 years, every year, I think for the past 20 years that I've done it, at the end of the last meeting, she says, "It's a miracle," and it truly is. it comes together. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Now, one thing you mentioned, Toby, you were talking about, you know, Texas Longhorn coaches and, you know, singers that, you know, you got on the upswing. So talk about, you know, what's a piece of advice you would give to an organization looking to have a celebrity or another high profile person? How do you get them to say yes?
You know, I think number one, you have to be willing to do the ask. I think a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, that person is too much of a celebrity, or they're too cool, or I think you just have to be willing to ask them. And I think too, once you kind of make that introduction or make a connection with, say, a bigger name celebrity, you want to make it fun for them. And we want their input as to what they would like to do or see at a party. We kind of let them guide their role in the event. And I think too, once the individual knows that they're not going to be standing behind a podium in front of 1,000 people, and it's just more like, hey, I get to be me and who I am, that they are much more open to participating. They're not going to be, you know, surrounded by 1,000 people at the end, and they're going to get to have conversations with, you know, our attendees that are real. Mm-hmm. And I think that really makes a difference. I think that's the cool part of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, what I love that you brought up there, and I don't think most people realize this, is just because your event doesn't have 1,000 people, celebrities may not necessarily look for that. They may not be comfortable in large groups, or they may not even be comfortable speaking in public. There's plenty of actors. They can be on a stage and on a set and they can do it, but put them in public and forget it. So, you know, the fact that you understand that, it's, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the party. It just matters how comfortable that person is. And you lean into that you can host an event for 30 and they're glad to be there. They're glad to show up. And I've been to plenty of those where there's just these remarkably beautiful evenings where you feel like you've left with 30 new friends. And that's just kind of what that does. And the celebrity or the speaker, you can see them feel that. And it's a really interesting thing to kind of watch and view. Kara, go for it.
I was going to say, you know, one of the biggest compliments we've ever gotten as an organization was the former UT men's basketball coach, Rick Barnes. We would have beautiful parties with Coach Barnes. And I remember right before he left, we had a party and it was wonderful. And all his former players came and it was just this beautiful party at a gorgeous house. And he came up to me afterwards and said, you know, I'm going up to University of Tennessee and I love the way this is structured. Can I get your number so that I can maybe start something like this up at the University of Tennessee? And so lo and behold, I gave him my number and I was like, oh my God, I just gave Rick Barnes, you know? and so sure enough, a couple months later, I got a call from the University of Tennessee. And I talked through all what we do and how we do it. And I don't know if they ever ended up implementing it or not, but you know, that's something where a guest was like, hey, I want to do this where I'm going. And so I just thought that was a pretty neat compliment.
That is the ultimate, to me, I can't think of any better form of flattery than having a person or having a celebrity be so moved that they, and I experienced that a handful of times. I've witnessed that in my career. So it's just, it always gives me goosebumps to hear a story like that, that they're just so moved by what you do that they want to pay it forward and, you know, in some way, you know, in some way, shape or form. And I know we're running a little short on time, but there's one question or one thing I would love your input on. And that is you two have the best chemistry and the best camaraderie. And I can't think of two better people to ask this question, but what is the key to having a really great relationship between an organization and an event chair to really create something that's really dynamic and amazing? And whomever would like to go first, feel free to go first.
Gosh, you know, that is kind of hard to answer because of how amazing our relationship has become over the years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, you know, we trust each other. We respect each other. And I think communication and just honesty mm-hmm. is really the most important. You know, like if I am struggling with something, you know, I don't have to pretend it's perfect. I can go to Kara and be like, Kara, I need help. Or, you know what? I feel like I've dropped the ball on this. Can you please help me? And I think just you have to take your ego out of it. You know, I may be, quote, the chair, but it's not about me. It's about our organization, our committee, and our trust and communication, I think is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to get emotional, but I adore Toby. And we have known each other now for almost 20 years. And I just am so thankful for her friendship and what she has given to our organization and to me as a person. I love her. And when we were thinking about the 40th anniversary and that we wanted it to be a special year, it's like, we need to see if Toby would be our chair, because she is the definition of leader when it comes to our committee and to our mission. You know, it's not easy. People get busy. And sometimes people aren't able to return a phone call or return a text or whatever. That is not Toby. Toby always makes time for my team. My team loves her. You know, they know that Toby has our back when it comes to things that we have to figure out. Because, you know, situations and things happen. And we always know that Toby will be there for us and will help us. And it's not easy being chair of a group of people with diverse personalities and ideas and thoughts. And she does it with grace, with humility, with respect. And And we are just, we thank the stars that somebody invited her to a party of, you know, years ago, and that, you know, it has evolved to this. Because honestly, I mean, Toby could literally be on the payroll. That's how much time she spends with us. And you know, she has a life, you know, she's going to school, she's doing all these amazing things, but she always has time for us. And I will forever be grateful. And I just, we're just going to have to keep doing things together because we just have, we have so much fun. We'll have to, let's go meet at the Grove.
Exactly. Oh gosh. Yes.
Talk this through, or Manuel's or somebody, someplace. But it is so important to have the chemistry and that I think that we have, that I feel that we have. And I appreciate it so much every day. So.
Well, beautiful. And I mean, beautiful answer. You can just see how much you two adore one another. And I got one final question. This is a simple kind of one sentence answer, but after 800 toast events, can you believe I'm saying that? tell us one thing any success, all successful events have in common.
Wow. You know what? I think fun. Number one, it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. And passion for what you're doing. And that will come through 1,000%.
Completely agree.
Totally agree. I'm not going to say name tag.
We're going to mic drop
name
it.
Tags, it's like, oi.
We're going to mic drop it right there, Ben. So, well, you know, I can't think of two better people to celebrate this 40th anniversary of one of my favorite organizations in Texas. So, you know, Toby, Kara, thank you so much for being with us today. And congratulations on this really monumental milestone, because there's very few. I can't think of another organization that can say they've thrown 800 parties as part of their signature fundraising series. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
And the St. David Foundation's Toast of the Town will be a series of approximately 20 bespoke parties held during May of 2024 at various locations throughout Austin, Texas. For more information, please visit toastaustin.org. And that will do it for this episode of Fun and Fundraising. I'm your host, Rob Giardinelli, reminding you to keep it fun, keep it interesting, and your guests will have a great time. Have a great day, everyone, and take care.